I want you to see there that there was no surprises. Not a surprise. Not a thing came upon our Lord that he didn't know about. But knowing that, he began the introductions, "Whom seek ye?" And having begun the introductions, they came to arrest him. And then he spoke the words, "I am he." And as soon as he used the words, "I am," the band of soldiers fell back. They couldn't arrest him in their own power. They were repelled by the power of the Son of God. Now this was a demonstration of his power. And it proved that unless he surrendered to them, they could never have arrested him.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and it is a joy to bring you the Word of the Lord again today. Trust that you've been blessed through that clip and that you will stay with us for the main message in a few moments. Now we turn to our Bible reading. We're turning to Matthew 13 and verse 52 today. The Lord Jesus was impressing on his disciples who were still in their schooling for the apostleship that to teach men a great variety of means are to be used. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is an object familiar to the common man, which can be used to open up parallels to things that are spiritual and eternal. The preacher draws from similarities and comparisons. The wonder is that there is so often an affinity between God's created world and God's eternal world. There is design and purpose in everything, and there are lessons to be gleaned from almost everything by the one who has eyes to see and a heart to learn. In this one chapter, the Lord made use of a sower, wheat and tares growing together, mustard seed, hidden treasure, merchants and fishermen separating the good fish from the bad. The preacher is to be like the householder who keeps a larder or pantry stored from harvest to harvest to feed his family. When needs arise, there is always something laid aside that will fill that need. So the work of the pastor is to care for his people by ever learning things that are old and new. He stores up knowledge from his youth and early seminary days, but he keeps on learning that he may better feed the flock. The years of experience and knowledge with God's grace should make him an able minister of the New Testament. The needs of congregations are so vast and various. You cannot feed on one diet continually. It might be the basic ABCs of the gospel this week, but strong meat will be needed. And when error is abounding, the preacher must bring out the shotgun of divine truth to kill off every gospel predator. Young men need guidance, young couples need counsel, children need to hear the wonderful stories of Jesus, and this is all the privilege of the pastor, to pour forth week by week, two or three times per week, the wonderful wisdom of God. Of course, his treasure store is the Bible itself. From Genesis to Revelation, we have the whole scope of knowledge and wisdom required. Other information can be borrowed in to enhance it. But the great purpose of the preacher is that his people will know the book. The message of the gospel is old, yet ever new. The youngest saint will stand in awe of the cross when it is preached in power, and the oldest saint will still melt to tears at the love of God in the death of Christ. As a wise preacher once said, "In every sermon, make a beeline for the cross. Let that be your target destination in almost every message. It is so in the scripture itself, so why is it not so with modern day preaching?" The man who is called a pastor, parson, or cleric, or anything else religious, who cannot preach the cross, is not instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. You'd better get out from under such a ministry, for you will not find live chickens under a dead hen. Some poor people have to put up with such awful nonsense from a pulpit. They are put to sleep with pure ranting of men addling their brains about they know not what. What the world needs are things old and new. Give the old gospel with new light, new illustrations and fresh thinking, but let it be the old gospel still. The gospel of the blood, the gospel of Jesus wounded for sinners, Jesus bleeding and dying to pay the penalty for sin, the love of God in punishing his own Son to set men free. With these truths and the other miracles and cardinal doctrines of the gospel, we will be prepared and equipped as disciples of Jesus to go forth and preach the gospel in all the world. I pray today that the Lord will raise up preachers, and indeed we need to pray that God will raise up preachers in this land of Canada to turn the hearts of men to truth and righteousness and to know that truth through the power and the grace of the Lord our God. And so I trust that today that the Lord will bless you, encourage your heart, and give you great grace to serve the Lord. Let his blessing be upon his word. Let's unite together in prayer for that. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the loving kindness that we have in the Lord Jesus, and for all the grace that we have in the Lord Jesus, and all the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus. And I pray that we might be well equipped to tell men everywhere the good news of the gospel. We thank thee that there is every doctrine, every word necessary, given to us. We're not to make up, we're not to scheme and dream about what God might have done, but we're to tell the history, the story of what God has done in giving us his Son, in opening a way for sinners to return back to God from the dark paths of sin. And so, Father, we pray that you will bless your own word, bless your own work, bless your own people, bless your church in these days with great grace, and grant that there may be times of rejoicing when your people will be fed, when the youth will be instructed, and when the church of the Lord Jesus will be a great witness in the earth for thy name's sake. And now bless your word and be with us in this program and be with your people everywhere, and let prayer be answered that your name may be glorified. Amen.
When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him. the print of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. I shall know him, yes, I'll know. Redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the
thank you again for joining us here, and let the Bible speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and oh, how we praise the Lord for the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and just to hear that plea and singing of the hope that is within us the day when we shall stand beside the King, when we shall look upon his glory and bask in his beauty. It shall be worth it all when we see Jesus. Oh, my dear friend, take encouragement today. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're because of the hope that is within us. We have that great resurrection day to look forward to, when these bodies shall be transformed into the likeness of his glorious body. We have a great future. No matter what the problems here, no matter what the infirmities of body, no matter what the pain and suffering we go through in this cursed world, the Christian has a great future. There is the future of eternal life. It is a future as glorious as the promises of God. And the Lord says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Here in John chapter 10, the Lord speaks about dying for his sheep, of the sheep hearing his voice. And they know him, and they follow him. And Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Yes, the Lord Jesus is equal with the Father in power and glory and in essence. And the Holy Spirit is also equal with God the Father and God the Son. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the doctrines of Orthodox Christianity. We believe that our God is the God who gave us that baptism formula, go ye into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because all three are members of the Godhead. And the Godhead is that indivisible essence of which all three persons participate and enjoy every attribute. And God is infinite and eternal. God the Father is. God the Son is infinite and eternal. God the Holy Spirit is infinite and eternal. Now, I trust that you'll stay tuned with us now as we move to the pulpit for our message today, as we let the Bible speak on part three, the voluntary sufferings of our Lord Jesus as he gave himself upon that cross.
Then my last point is this. His death was voluntary, and this is seen when our Lord was on the cross. We know this from his cries on the cross. The cry of his most complete surrender has to be, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." There is that final yielding of his life and all the value of his life unto the Father. It was a love offering to the Father. We know this also from the people's cries. They cried out in Matthew 27, they cried out, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, save thyself, save thyself." And this was shouted by those that passed by, "Come down, save yourself." This was the mockery of the scribes. It was also the taunt of the thieves. Before one of them was converted and was ready for heaven, both thieves on each side of our Lord, as he hung in suffering, they reeled at him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and come down from the cross." Let me tell you, that was addressing the heart of the issue. Our Lord could save himself, but if he did, he could never have saved us. He could never have done the work for which he had come to redeem his people. If he had delivered himself from the agony of the cross, the shame of it, the curse of it, he could never have delivered you and me from the curse of our sins. And so, as our Redeemer, as our suffering Savior, he may not come down from the cross in his own way, but he must endure it. He must go through with it. This was his mission. This was his ministry. This was the purpose for which he was born. This was the reason why he was given a perfect body. This is the reason why there was in the very veins of the body of Jesus sinless blood. Because that blood must flow to redeem and save his people. We know this from the timing and manner of our Lord's expiring on that cross. You'll notice, and I'll take you back, please, to John 10:18, the text we started with today, and it says that no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now, the proof of this is that our Lord died so quickly on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, who sought to bury our Lord's body, went off to Pilate, pleading that body to come down. Pilate wondered in dismay, "You mean to tell me that he's dead already?" And he sent soldiers to go and check it out. They went to break the legs of these malefactors and to break the legs of our Lord Jesus. But when they looked on, they said, "No, he's dead already." And to prove it, they took the spear and they rammed it right under his rib cage, right into the pericardium, the water sac that gathers around his heart, and out flowed blood and water, the medical evidence that death had done its work. Our Lord was dead already. How did he die? Was it the nails? Was it the suffocation of a Roman gibbet? It was common for physically strong men to squirm and agonize on a Roman cross, even up to 9 days. Our Lord died in a few hours, from perhaps 9 o'clock in the morning, way before 6 p.m., sundown. How come he died so quickly? He did not die of his physical injuries. He offered up himself. With his own energy, he laid down his life. With his own will, he cried out to his Father, I'm handing over my life to you. No man taketh it from me. I'm not dying here as a weak wimp, a victim of my circumstances. I am offering myself as a living sacrifice, voluntarily laying it down, coming to you, Father, with my life, surrendering it on the altar of love to satisfy your justice. That's how he died. And one of his final exclamations on that cross in the Greek is just one word, teleo. John 19:30, it is finished. It's just one word in the Greek, teleo. It is finished. And there's evidence that he didn't whisper it. He didn't just gasp it in a dying breath, but he shouted it as an energetic priest in his dying work, sacrificial work. It is finished. And gave up the ghost. This is the voluntary death of our Lord Jesus. Now, we have collected the evidence to establish this from the purpose of God, from the nature of his arrest, from his very cries on that cross itself. The Lord died voluntarily. And in doing so, he glorified his heavenly Father. He glorified his heavenly Father. He brought the greatest satisfaction to God, infinite satisfaction. God looked on in the most exquisite pleasure, and God was glorified in his Son. And in fulfilling that work, Christ was glorified in his death. It was a glorious death, a triumphant death. And of course, it provided a sacrifice for sin. And for all the people whom Christ died for, his redeemed, his covenant people, everyone that, whom he represented, his sacrifice satisfies and justifies and settles the account with God. And of course, to us, it demonstrates the amazing love of our Lord Jesus for us. You see, if my Lord had been dragged to the cross and he was protesting and said, please don't do this to me. If they had driven a nail through his hand and he said, please release me from this cross. And if he had fought and resisted that he would not stretch out that other hand and fought it all the way. And then I was to even attempt to tell you today that Jesus loved you, that he went to the cross to die for you. Could you believe that? No. He would say, I see my Lord struggling against those nails. I see my Lord tightening his lips, and I see his wrath against those men. I see no surrender to the cross. I see his resistance to it. You would say, that's not a loving, willing, surrendered Savior for me. He was merely a victim who could do no other. But we have learned here today that he went to the cross, yielded, determined. As one scripture says, he set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem because he must suffer. There was a must to it. And thereby he suffered voluntarily on that cross. Now, just as the little boy comes with his sticky hands and the rolled up piece of chocolate in his hands and says, "Dad, I love you," what does the father do? Well, after that other question, well, who asked you to do this? And you settle it that this is really his own little idea. And you say, "Well, son, you really want to give this just for me, a love gift? And no matter how crumpled the paper is, and no matter how messy the chocolate is, Dad, you gotta eat it. You gotta eat it." And when our Lord Jesus offered himself to the Father, God the Father accepted the sacrifice. It was a love, free will offering to the Father. And now the question is, have you accepted it? Or are you a rejecter of the death of our Lord on the cross? He has displayed forever his love towards sinful men and all who will come to the cross by faith for salvation. But maybe you're saying, it's not enough. Maybe you're saying, I can't be sure. And you despise and turn away from that offering. That's unbelief. That's Christ rejection. Ah, my friend, that is to turn away from the greatest gift ever offered to your soul. Have you accepted the offering? God has. It's enough for God. Is it enough for you? Or are you saying, but I have to do something for my salvation. I have to earn my salvation. My friend, that kind of thinking will destroy your soul. Jesus paid it all. His gift, his sacrifice is all sufficient for all time. May the Lord in grace work these things in our hearts and flood our souls with the wonder of it all.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.